Blog Talk Radio.
January 24th, 2023, and our call-in number is 347-857-3293. And if you want to get on this program, you can email us at ralph.pointer@gmail.com. Without further ado, our theme is consistent with what we have been saying all along, that an anatomy of oppression in this country and the world requires that you understand the meaning of colonialism and imperialism. That is the only analysis that will teach you who your friends are and who your enemies are. So tonight's theme is that capitalism with every endeavor. It is organized robbery, greed, and corruption. And to prove our point, we're just going to say two words to you. George Santos. And the question we are asking you, whose side are you on? Brother Ralph, what's happening?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. With great pleasure, I enter this discourse with you with a smile on my face and with a sad face on the other side of my expression. That is, we have so much to talk about and so little time to do it in. Last week, we talked about the hypocrisy of those who would take the mantle of the Prince of Peace. That was Martin Luther King. And then throw their support behind United States and Ukraine invasion in Ukraine and say they are disciples of Martin Luther King, who said you cannot have a war at home and a war abroad at the same time. They got to skip one. Well, it was the Vietnam War, and we know what they skipped. And now we have another war, the war of homelessness and poverty. And we made this statement of we're going to sum it all up with George Santos. And every morning I would get up and say, what new have they found out? And everything new is more tragic and funnier than the last thing. But there is a side of this issue that explains it all. And it's not funny. And let's get to what brings me to this thought. George Santos explains it all. Well, I feel sorry for the young person because all he wanted to do was belong. Belong to something. Be somebody somewhere. And everything he tried failed. But he went to the old standard, finding a lie that would fly. And the lie that flies in this society that we live in today is imperialism, colonialism, under the culture of racism. Everything else failed, but he knew the real deal in this world. He became a trumpeteer. Trump, and we all know what he stands for. And it's sad that we have Herschel Walker and those poor black people who joined the Democratic Party. And I feel bad for them. Joined the Republican Party. And we're going to get to the Democratic Party later. Because as Glenn Ford taught us, and those who are students of life, of where it is. And while the instruments of government are working, do we understand them? And Glenn Ford taught us well. But so many of us don't know about Glenn Ford, the brilliant person who was an activist, a journalist, theorist. And I hope that we'll have his book on this program and take pieces of it to talk about what he tried to teach us. Now back to poor George Santos. What is the lie that he knew would fly in America? He knew Trumpism would fly. Trumpism, capitalist, imperialist, racist culture. And so he took that on, and he told every lie in the book. Whatever you stood for, he supported in the lie. And as an example of it, and I'll let him go with that, is that he was a cross-dresser that we know, supported the LGBTQ community, voted against them, and then said, but I hope that they have equal rights, even though I'm voting against your equal rights. This is the type of liar he was, has, he is. But what does that mean to the rest of us, other than something to amuse us over our morning coffee? What it means, as our dear sister Lynn Stewart told us many years ago, if you come from another country, and you are not a person of color, the first test you have to pass in America is the test of racist conduct, racist attitudes, anti-black, anti-too-dark-brown, anti-Asian. This is the first test you have to pass to become an American before you go to your lawyer, before you sign a piece of paper, before you take the pledge, before you take the test that they give you, the written test. And, as Lynn Stewart said, many come here because they understand that test and they know they can pass it and they become American citizens. And what does that say for the rest of us? We see George Santos becoming an American citizen, a congressperson, and the Republicans can't get rid of him because they need his vote. But they're going to be embarrassed every day about something he says or does. But he's their team. And Trumpism was the first person to say what so many people in America were thinking. This is why he is so important. This is why, as we stated in this program over and over again, they've got to go after him to keep him from running again, because if he runs, he'll win. Because that is what America is. And our question is, what are we doing about it? 1917 all over again. Capitalism versus socialism. And now it's getting dangerous. It's been dangerous for a long time. We're involved in reparations, and they're stealing from us every day. And I said, what are we going to do? 50 years from now, say, what did they do in 2023? We want that. No, let's stop them now. This is our mission, to stop them from stealing from us every day, and that means we have to purge many of our so-called progressive institutions. We have to, I think it's my mother used to say, and I'm not a theist, watch as well as pray. And so I don't pray, I just watch a lot. And so here we are, we're watching, we're seeing the American people, they accept George Santos. Never mind his lies, because he's already passed the test. The test is cultural racism, anti-LGBTQ laws. He's a right-winger. And so he has become a part of America, and America has accepted that. And what does that say for us? We're chasing our tail on many issues rather than dealing with a basic issue. A basic issue we talk about is, if you want reparations, I'll join that. And what is my first request? Free all political prisoners. That seems like a logical thing. Doesn't cost you anything. Saves you money. But they have no intention of doing anything that would make it better for us. And so I ask you this evening, we have many announcements to make. What do you think about what's happening today? Sister Betty.
Thank you so much. And we're going to follow our usual format and go to our poet in residence, Professor Louis. But after that, we're going to change our format just a little bit. We have a very special guest that we'll put on immediately after the poet, Dr. Vicki Casanova Willis, who was one of our international jurists when we charged genocide under the leadership of the Spirit of the Mandela's
initiative.
So without further ado, Professor Louis, we're going to open up your mic, and you can use the balm of Gilead, i.e. poetry, to soothe our wounds. Because those of us who've been fighting against the big dragon could use some healing tonight. Professor Louis, your mic is open, and thank you so much for coming back again.
All right. It's a fool's paradise. You might not want to pay the price of lying, crying. You will be dying in a fool's paradise. You might not have a diamond or pearl. Do you care about the little boy and girl? Keep on living our way every damn day. How we're living is destroying the world. SUV and a pickup truck. We think that we're really in luck. Gallons of gas just to carry your ass. Are you a good guy or a schmuck? The computer's the best one yet, but African miners gotta get cobalt, cadmium, and boron for us to act like a moron and play on the internet, looking at screens all day. Nobody knows the price we pay. We're missing the part, talking to your sweetheart. We don't even know what to say. Convenience is making us crazy. Soon we'll be pushing up daisies. Do we really need a text? Do we need Alexa? Maybe we're just getting lazy. It's a fool's paradise. You might not want to pay the price of lying, crying. You will be dying in a fool's paradise. Plastic's filling up the sea. It's also in the air we breathe. It's down in the soil, and it's going to spoil all of the food that we eat. Is your heat from oil or gas? How long is that going to last? Quiet as a mouse, you need a net zero house. I'll tell you what it is if you ask. You like your electricity, but where'd it come from? That's the key. It all could run on the wind and the sun. It'd be better for you and for me. Still, corporate greed rolls on. Behind a dollar and a gun, it's not going to crash till the world's all trash. It don't care about your daughter or son. And everything has got a cost, not just what you pay at the stores. If it's killing the earth, what is it worth? We don't even know what we lost. It's a fool's paradise. We might not want to pay the price of lying, crying. We will be dying in a fool's paradise. Now, you might think we already blew it, but there's plenty ways to get through it. Without too much greed, the earth has what we need. Technology's not going to do it. The whole world can have food every day, have a home and a place to stay. But cars and electronics, like you see in the comics, it can't go on this way. The world could eat real food. No one has to push and be rude. Industrial agriculture acts like a vulture. Junk food, I'm not in the mood. Trees all make better air. You're breathing, so I know you care. Don't let some clown cut them all down. We could use more trees everywhere. Grow the wetlands and feel the breeze. Bring back the coral reefs. Don't step on the gas. Grow a lot more grass. Clean up the seven seas. And let some places go back to wild. Don't go and do that with your child. Let everything grow fast or slow. And you know nature just smiled. Hamburgers and hot dogs are cool. Before you're starting to drool, it might be a treat, but mass production of meat makes tons of fossil fuel. Forget the feedlots and figure out how to eat less pig, chicken, and cow. If they went in the field, the soil would be healed. We'd be all better off right now. And to go on as women and men, simple as 10 times 10. Don't get confused. Everything that's used, we got to use again and again. Every single thing, where or when, made of stuff we can use again. We need to be choosing things that we're using over and over. Amen. The stock market's not the economy. Endless growth is just pathology. High GDP kills you and me. It's given us all a lobotomy. And we can't let the future bring a world where some people have everything. And some people got nothing, not even a button, and then it's all over, bing, bada, bing. So don't be just a consumer. If you're young or an old baby boomer, stand up, make a fuss. It takes a whole lot of us. Change needs you. It's not just a rumor. Climate disaster is stoppable. We don't got to have fuel from a fossil. If we plant the seed, the earth has what we need, and a much better world is possible. It's a fool's paradise. It might feel comfy and nice, but think it over once or twice, and we might not want to pay the price of selling and buying, living and dying in a fool's paradise. Well, you have done it once again. I wanted to have you to repeat that right now, but due to time, we're going to move on, and I'm going to ask you, as I ask you so many of the informational, so many of the educational and entertaining poetry that you have, or poems, I just want to hear them over and over again, and we're going to have to deal with that. Next week, come back with that, because you took it all to a whole ball of wax in a poem. Thanks again, Professor Louie. Sister Betty.
All right, as I mentioned, thank you, Professor Louie. I feel a little bit better. We've got a very special guest, an international jurist, who was a very important part of the leadership of the Spirit of Mandela Initiative when we charged genocide in October of last year. So we want to welcome Dr. Vicky Casanova Willis and listen to her words of wisdom. And thank you for joining us this evening. Your mic is open.
Thank you so much. Are you able to hear me all right?
We hear you clearly.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the invitation. And what inspiration and the words, not just the words, but the spirit of both this whole conversation, but that incredible poetry just shared, liberation poetry. And so one of the things I want to share with you all is, yes, my name is Dr. Vicky Casanova Willis. I am just really honored to do some of the work of the people alongside all of you, so many of you. And I was invited to share some remarks and reminders about, as was just mentioned, the honor that I had of being one of the international jurists who were able to sit through several days of testimony due to years of organizing work by the Spirit of Mandela Coalition, and literally in the very space in New York City where our brother Malcolm was murdered, for standing up and fighting back and leading, right? Exactly along the lines of how you opened this conversation this evening. There was no question that after hearing a testimony of directly impacted people, human rights advocates, racist, the United States was found guilty on 5 counts. When we deliberated initially in October, really quite near the 75th anniversary of the very first time that people of African ancestry, right, African Americans in the U.S. attempted to utilize the human rights framework and take the human rights issue of genocide against African descendants, primarily with regards to the lynching, right, and was pushed back, forced to take their eyes off the prize because the U.S. did not want to be held accountable among its peers, right? Well, once again, there was no denying in listening to the testimony in the People's Tribunal of the, as was stated in the poem, just the egregious, rampant, multifaceted genocidal tactics taken, which directly and disparately impact Black, Brown, and Indigenous peoples here. There was no question that we had to find the United States guilty on all 5 counts. And those included racist police killings of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people, hyper incarcerations of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. So that holds the whole law enforcement system, not just the police, accountable. And that's an important point that I want to come back to shortly with regards to a current call for the people's input and written submissions and evidence of the same extensions of the genocide through the arm of law enforcement disparately. So there's an upcoming visit to the U.S. for experts that were just recently appointed, a mechanism that was created in part due to the work and the pressure of people like you and many in the Spirit of Mandela Coalition demanding that we create change, that the status quo is not simply going to stand. So the U.S. was found guilty, and I'll continue, the racist police killings of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. Number two, the second count was hyper-incarcerations of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people, as I said, death by imprisonment and the whole gamut. Number three was political incarceration of civil rights and national liberation area revolutionaries and activists, as well as present-day activists. And as we heard in that incredible liberation poetry, activism takes so many forms. Blog Talk Radio, Black Media, Black Radio, and allies, you know, that's often considered in this climate and in the past to be unacceptable, calling out of this murdering system. But we must tell the truth. The fourth count was environmental racism and its impact on Black, Brown, and Indigenous peoples. And the fifth, public health racism and disparities and its impact, again, on Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. And then number six was actually added, genocide of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people as a result of the historic and systemic changes. So the cumulative and ongoing impact, which we know is rooted in the Holocaust of African enslavement, right? But that
right
same tactic utilized against many others. So I wanted you to know all of this is online, spiritofmandela.org/international tribunal, or just Google We Charge Genocide 2021, or just Google International Tribunal, using any of those words, right? Spirit of Mandela or Mandela, because it's very important that was not just an event, as powerful as it was, as not only symbolic, but historic. As I said, 75 years later, with ancestors obviously absolutely present. But the outcomes and that the research, the testimonies are also archived in video form. And I could not even have, I didn't have a voice or a role while this whole process was ongoing, except to be one of the jurists with a great deal of involvement and experience in the human rights work and civil rights work for a very long time, alongside my husband, who is an attorney. I'm not, but retired now, and Brother Standish Willis, who many are known to many as being, among other things, very much a longtime champion for ensuring that our COINTELPRO, U.S. political prisoners, did not languish into, forever in prison, and that if possible, we would do everything we could to bring them home, which in part is happening, again, due in large part to this cumulative work, but especially the impact of the Spirit of Mandela Coalition and the outcomes from this international tribunal. The final verdict, of which I was one of the three rapporteurs who actually was charged with finalizing the written version of, and capturing all of our deliberations and et cetera, is important, but it's anticlimactic. The truth, if you will, is all of the testimony, all of the statements, all of the courageous stories that were told directly, testimony of lived experiences. And I urge you to read and find ways to utilize and share, and all of you, not just, the poets and the cultural workers and the writers and the thank you for uplifting ancestor Baba Glenn Ford, who, the Black Agenda Report. I had the privilege to talk with him briefly offline, for a while at one point, and he was encouraging me to do some writing. I was at the time the first non-lawyer president of the National Conference of Black Lawyers, and I was, still am, very immersed in some Human Rights Cities work, as well as in ongoing work with youth and so forth. And I encourage us when we can to just to take the time to do things when you can, because as we know, tomorrow's not promised, and it's just a part of the responsibility if we can. So I'm in that spirit. I said yes today, even though I wasn't sure that I could afford the time, but I couldn't afford not to be obedient and look at how much I've been enriched already by being here. So it is, this is evidence, both the written, oh gosh, I can't even say how much and I don't know how much time I have left, so I'll try to wrap up in just literally two more minutes, because I want to leave a couple of connections here for you. But so much work went into this that the it now needs to be shared and spread to educate others. So that they know that they're not alone, that there are ways to fight back, that there are solutions, that we can survive together, but also thrive if we continue to utilize these tools. And that some of it is just the video testimony that's online. They did a masterful job, the Spirit of Mandela Coalition, of capturing everything and also posting it so that you can Google and see the videos on YouTube and be able to hear the testimony for yourself and then share it. So one of the places that it can be shared, I'm going to just say this, is that I am recently back from the UN in Geneva, Switzerland, of course, but the convening was to launch the first ever UN permanent forum. They changed the name three times. It was for people of African descent, then of people of African descent, and then in November was recently voted and changed on people of African descent. So those semantics aside, I know that our poet laureate here just shared with us how important words are. And so we have to examine why, you know, multiple people, heads of state and so forth, would have all these deliberations on one little word or one little letter change. Like, what does it all mean? But also not be ultra focused on what a restrictive capitalist colonial system and neocolonial is telling us, you know, the framing ought to be for our existence. And so this is directly related to standing up and fighting back. Standing up for your rights, being a part of the solution and not just reporting on, oh, this is what I heard, this is what is happening, this is what I've experienced, this is what others have experienced. What are we going to do about it? And we each must do something, if no more than to say something. And that's significant. So the permanent forum on people of African descent on is the title right now. But the point is that this is another mechanism which is specifically geared toward hearing and recommending to the Human Rights Council and the UN General Assembly issues elevated from the people of African ancestry throughout diaspora. And we are saying, oh, and on the continent, we're not going to be disconnected from our history, from our ancestry, and because the same thing is being perpetuated globally. Again, back to that incredible poem that we heard. So please consider coming to and listening to and bringing people onto, you know, the radio program to help educate each other and continue to engage with these additional tools that we have to assess and create strategies and then implement them based on the right to self-determination. And one of those opportunities will come up again, because the launch was December 5th through 8th, but the next opportunity and convening, for at least for that platform, is in New York City at the UN in New York, May 30th through June 3rd. So you don't have to get on a plane to go to Geneva. You don't have to do anything other than listen up. I'm part of an international civil society working group. And also we'll continue to make sure that the Spirit of Mandela team, which is ongoing, is aware and privy to these strategies and structures that we have pressed for to continue the work that our ancestors guided us to initially, which is that we will not take our eyes off the prize, and we will demand and receive and claim human rights for all of us, our peoples, but in particular it's urgent because of the genocide and the disparate racist impact against Black, Brown, and Indigenous peoples, with the overwhelming numbers of the disparate disparities being against Black people.
Thank you. The last thing
I want to say is that today, and this is it, today, you may or may not know, is the Creative UNESCO World Day for African and Afro-Descendant Culture. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Ashe, for bringing a cultural frame to be able to have this conversation. And I will follow up and share, if you would pass it on to your audience, the next kind of teach-in, which is a Zoom, it's free, it's open, on Saturday, that the Trinity United Church of Christ Justice Watch team that I'm a part of, it's interdenominational, it's not, it's just another teach-in, teach-back, and mini town hall, if you will, on how to access these human rights mechanisms, and a more thorough report on what happened at the recent permanent forum. And then there is a call right now, as I said at the top, for feedback and testimony can be written, can be snippets from this actual, both the testimony and also the final verdict from the International Tribunal, where they were found guilty of genocide. But we need to hear from more people than just one or two of us. And thank you so much for the work that you do. Asante Sana Ashe, appreciation for lifting up the culture on this significant day.
Well, thank you so much for your contribution, Ashe. And this is about learn, 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 educate, educate, educate. And getting an idea is like sitting on a pin. It makes you do something. So let us get ideas from this program. Let us do things. Let us create the world that we are looking for.
Within that context, I can't help but say that on January 23rd, the Martinique court dismissed slavery reparations lawsuit. Yes, they decided they were not eligible for reparations due to slavery. So we do have our work cut out for us. I'd like to think that the people of Martinique will have plenty to say on that day in May. And again, you want a microphone, you got it. What we want to segue into now is our political prisoner contingent. Jericho is in the house, Mr. Ann, and our former political prisoner. His mics are open.
Okay. Does anybody else want to go first? If not, I will go first, following up on what Dr. Vicky was just saying. All of these wonderful videos of the tribunal can be found on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and you just type in Spirit of Mandela, you will come to our channel, and you can subscribe if you would like. Because a whole group of different video editors, mostly younger folk, spent a lot of time working on these videos and dividing them up by charge, in addition to the opening ceremony. So they're all there on all the different charges. And then we also have a special of Dr. Mary Louise Patterson's expert testimony just on her own, in addition to being part of Charge 5, Public Health Racism. And we also have all our webinars up there. And, you know, we're continuing to do webinars. We're going to have an upcoming one in February 18th, about the People's Senate, one of the outcomes that we have of this. We recently uploaded from September of last year, a whole group of Women United Against Genocide, which is another group that has formed out of Spirit of Mandela, talking about the water crisis in Jackson, Mississippi. So, you know, there's a lot of interesting things there. You can subscribe. It would be great. You know, and it's very educational, and you don't have to watch all the videos at once. You can, you know, take your time and watch small amounts. It's very, very interesting and very moving, and I would encourage people to do that. Now, in terms of prisoners, I have a couple of reports. One is Bedford Hills. In Bedford Hills, if you buy rice or pasta from commissary, as I have heard directly from my friend Joy Powell, you know, they were busy, you know, buying different things. They were going to do, like, you know, New Year's dinners. They were going to do something for Martin Luther King Day, you know, different things that they do. But all the women get together and, you know, they cook together and have a nice communal meal. So they bought rice from commissary. They bought pasta from commissary. So when they went to cook the rice and the pasta, lo and behold, it was totally infested with a bunch of very small black bugs. So, you know, they put the pasta in the water. Water was boiling, and all these little black bugs were floating on top dead. So pretty disgusting, right? So I've been calling up to Albany about that, because that, you know, we don't know if that comes, if there's some kind of infestation in the commissary itself, or did those things come that way from whoever they buy them from, right? So, you know, very unhealthy to be thinking about eating food that's got bugs in it. Rather gross. And another thing is that there's been people in Texas, incarcerated people in Texas, have been on hunger strike, have been on hunger strike since January 10th. And the reason that they're on hunger strike is they're opposing the brutal practice of keeping prisoners in isolation, in some cases for decades, for decades. They have more than 500 people have been held in solitary confinement for at least 10 years, and 138 of them for at least 20 years. So as we know, you know, that's considered a form of torture. Even 15 days is considered a form of torture. And all of the horrible repercussions that come out of that, post-traumatic stress disorder, attempted suicides, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So these folk have been throughout the state of Texas on a hunger strike since January 10th, and I'm going to be sending out on our e-list a whole news article about it. It won't take too much time. Really happy that Dr. Vicki Willis-Casanova was able to give us that wonderful report, and we are continuing, of course, to do the work because, you know, we have to, right? We don't have a choice in the matter. So that's basically my report. Don't forget, Dr. Mitul Shakur needs ongoing financial support. Go to MitulShakur.com. No donation is too large, and no donation is too small. Even if you can only give a little bit, if you could give, like, you know, $5 a month, you know, that adds up if enough people do it. So don't be shy. You know, Dr. Mitul Shakur needs our ongoing support fighting serious health issues. And these prisoners in Texas certainly have a very heavy load that they're carrying there, because they're saying, you know, this is all done arbitrarily. It's not based upon people's behavior that people get put in solitary. It's based upon the prison system deciding that you may be a member of a gang. Now, you may or may not be a member of a gang, and you may or may not be doing anything, but if, like, if you're supposed to be punished as a result of your behavior, not as a result of what people think you might belong to. And this has been a problem throughout the prison system for a long time. So that's all I have to say for the moment. What's the call? Free them all, and we're going to do it.
Because that is a picture of the daily life of those behind the wall for fighting for our freedom. Remember that. That's a picture of what people go through. We have those who have been there. I would like to hear from a few of those ex-political prisoners. Your microphones are open.
All right, 785, did you want to give a few comments?
Let me just say a couple of things real quick. The show is going very well. Poetry, of course, is always so inspiring. Let me just follow up a little bit on what Sister Ann was talking about, solitary confinement. And this is true across the board, not just the Texas prison system, not just the New York State and various other state systems, but it's also true, very true, for the federal prison system, BOP. And that is that while there are certainly some people thrown into segregation, the whole isolation, various names they have, for violating some rule or policy or something, the majority of people that get locked up are there because of their who they are, first and foremost political prisoners, and sometimes, you know, members of different street organizations and so forth, but who take a stand, a principled stand against just the basic day-to-day injustice and illegality oftentimes that prison systems impose upon all captives, all prisoners. In terms of political prisoners, most political prisoners always begin their prison sentences, sometimes for months, sometimes for years at a time, but they begin their prison sentences in segregation, in some kind of isolation. And that's strictly because the prison system itself, with all the guns and guards and abuses and policies all designed to harm and damage human beings, they're actually afraid. They're afraid of the men and women, the revolutionaries in captivity, who have a clear understanding, insight, not into what's wrong, not only into what's wrong with the prison, but the very system that has these prisons, this capitalist, imperialist, racist, colonial system that has these prisons used to keep the some of the most foremost and most serious fighters, you know, away from the streets, away from the struggle, and trying to oppress them and to trying to, you know, squeeze them out of existence. So isolation, you know, segregation, whatever the names are for, they're always first and foremost used against political prisoners. Sometimes they spend years there before they're finally able to be let out into what's called general population, which is just prison, but with a few hours less time spent inside the cell. So when we're talking about these things, these words come up often, these ideas of segregation and so forth. I just wanted to put a little bit more context and meaning into what that means, especially for, you know, the good comrades, the revolutionaries in behind those walls today. And one final thing, I would just want to also wish you a speedy and healthful recovery there, Brother Ralph, on your recent medical procedures.
Thank you, my brother. Hope to see you in person. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. I hope the government's off your case where you can have visitors without fear of government repression due to the visitors that you have.
And I would like to remind people that the government oppression, the terrorism of the state, is ongoing. Google Cop City, which is in Georgia, and their political prisoners coming out of the convictions of the people who are just protesting, as the poem says, for air, for land, to keep their community and their neighborhood. So Google Cop City, and the charges against many of these political prisoners, it's new political prisoners, is coming out. Am I correct, Ann?
Yes, they are. And the other thing that just happened this past week was they apparently executed one of the forest protectors there in cold blood, a young man from originally from Venezuela. He calls himself Tortuguita, which means little turtle. I think he was only 23. Very suspicious. It was all kinds of different police there at the same time, Atlanta police, DeKalb County police, FBI, who knows who else, you know, and other people. The police are trying to claim that this young man shot at them first and they returned fire, but other people who were there said, no, that's not what happened. They basically just assassinated this young man. And his poor mother's in Panama, and she finds this out by a tweet or something. Somebody tweeted, oh, we're so sorry. And she was like, well, what happened? Right?
Oh, my God.
So now she's trying to get an emergency visa to come here so she can try to get justice for her son. So that just happened maybe yesterday or the day before, but really horrible news. That's what happens when they decide to call people who are doing legitimate protests, who are not, you know, violating anything. They decide to call people terrorists, just like they did when people were fighting the DAPL pipeline and everything else. People who are doing totally legitimate protests get painted as terrorists and then get killed by the terrorists who are called police.
Well, okay, and that's why we say over and over again, if you want to talk about reparations, the number one reparation is to free all our political prisoners. That makes sense. And if they do not, and they will not, until we mount pressure on them, it tells you how far going to with reparations. How about a little bit of justice today? Just a minute.
Brother Henry, your mic is open. Are you able to join us? Brother Henry?
Yes. Yes, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph. I wanted to share with the audience tonight the fact that Sister Ana Belén Montes spent 20 years in a federal prison in the United States. This Puerto Rican woman was convicted of espionage regarding her work in the United States Defense Intelligence Agency. Anti-imperialists consider her a hero, and many have defended her and worked for her release. They made the following public statement. Here is an update and current image of Ana Belén Montes in this week's Workers' World after her release from prison. We share with you the only authorized statement she wanted to share and make public, sent through her lawyer, Linda Bakil, on Sunday, January 8th. I am more than happy to touch Puerto Rican soil again after two rather exhausting decades and faced with the need to earn a living again. I would like to dedicate myself to a quiet and private existence. Therefore, I will not participate in any media activities. I encourage those who wish to focus on me to focus instead on important issues, such as the serious problems facing the Puerto Rican people or the U.S. economic embargo against Cuba. February will mark the 61st anniversary of the economic embargo against Cuba enacted by President John F. Kennedy and later tightened by the U.S. Congress, who, in the last 60 years, has asked the Cuban people if they want the United States to impose a suffocating embargo that makes them suffer. Also worthy of attention is the pressing need for global cooperation to halt and reverse the destruction of our environment. I, as a person, am irrelevant. I am unimportant, while there are serious problems in our global territory that demand attention and a demonstration of brotherly love. No further interview or comment will be granted or authorized by her. Likewise, her lawyer, Linda Bakil, indicated that this statement issued at Montez's request will be the only public expression authorized by or on behalf of her in relation to her release from prison. Please respect this decision in her privacy. And again, this sister is a hero and fought for the protection and defense of Cuba and must be celebrated for her courage and temerity for 20 years. And this article appeared in the current issue of Workers' World newspaper.
Well, thank you so much for that, Henry Higgins. We will respect her issues and her wishes because she has done her work. I must remind people that while Lynn was in Fort Worth, Carswell, so-called medical prison, and we did literature to free Lynn, we also put out literature to free Ana Belén Montes under the direction of our dear departed sister, comrade Lynn Stewart. Thank you so much for that.
All right, we're moving right along. As you can see, we've extended our time, and last week when we weren't sure, everybody's statement did get in. We're going to go to our commander, Cheryl Potts, and when we talk about human rights issues and why we charge genocide, this is one of the warriors fighting for water in Mississippi who now needs our support. Commander Potts, your mic is open, and thank you for taking the time to join us and update us.
Commander
Good
Potts.
Evening. How are you doing?
And how are you?
I am not well at all.
Tell us your story.
Well, as you know, I've been, as you all call, a water warrior in the city of Jackson. We did over $100,000 worth of water. Within the time of COVID-19, I've helped over 100 people get their rent paid up for 18 to 19 months. And I was on the, they call it Section 8 HUD voucher program. So with me feeling that my payments were getting taken care of, I was assisting other people that did not have the proper help. And today I had a U.S. Marshal come to my door with an eviction card stating that my stuff will be put outside by Tuesday or Monday. So meaning I would have until Friday afternoon in order to render full payment, which came to $32,000. Because I was told after I received that, I called my landlord and I asked them, I said, well, with it being so much, you know, what has happened? They said, well, HUD did not pay your rent for over a year. I said, okay. So I called HUD. And I said, well, my landlord is saying that there was no payment. They said, well, we had closed your case. Had you called us a couple of months ago, we could have put you back on. Now, mind you, if I knew a couple of months ago, I would have done that, right? So, so with that, I was kind of dumbfounded at that moment. Because I'm like, if I would have known, don't you think that would have been taken care of? So they told me that I could not get back on the HUD list until it reopened, that it was nothing I could do. They cut off all COVID relief funds that I help other people receive, so I can't receive that. And I'm living here in Georgia, and it's just me and my children. And my daughter that I just got back from domestic violence and my grandchildren. So I have basically 48 hours to try to come up with $32,000. And the reason why it's so expensive is because I had them set up where my utility was included into my rent payment. And that would make it a lot easier for me versus, you know, my bill fluctuating so much as a single mother. And by me being an activist, you know, I'm always in the street trying to help someone organize or do whatever I can to help them. Not knowing while I was helping them, I needed somebody to help me unknowingly.
Well, what is your plan at this time? Are you going to try to, you know, I think Women Against Genocide is also in Mississippi. I believe Rakia Lumumba heads up that organization. Because I think.
I did reach out to Rakia, and I let her know the situation. Because, you know, I live in Georgia. And she said, well, I'm going to see what we can do. The most that they can do is probably about $1,000. And she told me she will reach out to me tomorrow. And
yes,
so,
we must.
Yes,
thank you for that. We continue to reach out to our own or those who claim to be our own because we all know that HUD has not had a good reputation around the country, and this is the war at home, the war that they are waging against our community and our people who are helping. And so, my brothers and sisters, make reparations and freeing of political prisoners and ending the war at home on our people as your one and two issues of reparations. Stop this down the road talk. We're starving, dying, needing of help now, and we must, all of the organizations who speak out against these injustices must be willing to step in. And those who are loyal Democrats, go to your Democratic Party and tell them to end this war on Sister Cheryl Potts.
We need to take the war back to HUD. That's what we need to do. But we don't have an infrastructure or an institutional representative to take the place of our voices against this kind of perfidy. To me, this is no accident. It's your activity in the community that made you a target. They could have sent more, they could have had other ways of contacting you. I'm sure they had your cell phone number. So this to me is totally unacceptable. You want to give the family your contact information, especially your email, so that people can direct support.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Sister Potts, give us your email, dear. If anybody else has any other suggestions, feel free to chime in.
It is Terrell, that is SHERRELL, the number 1, JSU, at gmail.com. That is SHERRELL, the number 1, JSU, at gmail.com. And I did set up a GoFundMe as well.
Can you tell us the GoFundMe?
I can sort of give you the code. I can try to get it for you.
Okay.
Okay, you can contact Sister Ann Lamb of Jericho, who is up on the website and is very familiar with how to manipulate that, and we can continue our struggle through information.
And Brother Dennis is on the call. He knows her contact information as well, Commander Potts. We've got to move on because war on all fronts against us. We have with us the Vice Chair of the Black is Back Coalition. We're very honored that she took the time to touch bases with us. Sister McKimber, also known Lisa Davis, your mic is open, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much. I was primarily just joining, you know, just for support, and I was listening to, you know, some of the speakers who had come on before, and I was just listening to the last speaker that you just had and just thinking about whatever I can do to help. So I'm just going to say, because I'm just listening. Of course, I want to offer my support in whatever way, but I want to say if you want to give some other speakers more time, I'd be more than willing to allow that to happen, because I'm just here to listen and to try to offer support in any way possible.
Well, thank you so much. When is Chairman Yoshitella's next speaking event, either on Facebook or in person?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. But, you know, if people go to the Black is Back website, www.blackisbackcoalition.org, or to know immediately about what's going on with those scurrilous, furious, bogus FBI charges, or not even charges yet, but with their threats, they can go to handsoffuhuru.org. That's hands-off and Uhuru, U-H-U-R-U, dot, and they can get the latest updates there about what's going on and calls to action.
Well, thank you. Go ahead, Brother Ralph.
Thank you so much for that, and we will continue with our struggle of information and getting ideas sitting on that pin. Sister Betty.
All right, we have another warrior in the house. The last 4 digits are, 4044. I believe this is Sister Dennis. 4044. Your mic is open.
Oh, all righty. Let us move on. 4044, your mic is open. We will move forward. Thank you so much.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Okay, we're going to move right along. Brother Joel, your mic is open. Brother Joel, your mic is open. And thank you for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you for the honor of being invited to join and participating in this very unique weekly discussion where so many topics come up and with such a unique focus on conducting the revolution at the stage that it's at right now, and especially in the focus on the political prisoners who are suffering for so many decades, as Ralph pointed out, for fighting for the freedom of the people, especially the oppressed people, oppressed by race, by sex, by sexual orientation, and so on. This is a very unique forum, and I think everyone here should be honored for participating, and it's a real privilege. I wanted to take off on something that Ralph was talking about in the beginning about George Santos and how he lies about everything. And like many politicians, although his lies concern things that most politicians, I think, even are a little bit closer about, you know, like where they went to school, where they grew up. But I think that there are reasons why that has taken place politically. And it's not just, well, he's a pathological liar or something like that, which he functions as. But I think the way to approach it is like this, that when a lie is told, there are really three dimensions to that lie, maybe more that I'm not thinking of. But first of all, there's the lie itself, the falsification of the truth. But perhaps more important than that is the truth that's being covered up with the lie. And the third aspect is the insult to the intelligence of those whom the lies are thrown at. And I think that we have to suspect that there's something a little bit different about this particular politician, so-called, and the timing of and the type of scandal that's coming out. And it seems that he was operating both in Brazil and in the United States. So he's actually an international player who suddenly began a career to run as a public politician. Now, I think that the network of lies and the things that he lied about, like everything, you know, his whole family background, the background, his religious backgrounds, and where he worked and everything else, is so extraordinary that there's a reason. And I would suspect, and I think people should always be aware of how more and more the political police and the spy agencies are running everything. And it's sort of the profile of a professional spy that he has to lie about everything. And he has to look, for example, he has to lie about his jobs in the past, because he has to account for the past, come out and say, well, I was doing this clandestine work for the ruling class, and I'm part of the CIA's Murder Incorporated or something like that. But that's the reason why those kinds of lies would be told, because with that second thing, the truth that's coming up is something that prevents the identification of people from spy agencies and so on, and they begin to lie about everything, and they're trained to lie about everything. And he seems also to have this connection between Brazil and the United States, and he emerges just as the Bolsonaro regime has been replaced. And where did Bolsonaro go? He went to Florida. He apparently visited Donald Trump, another someone else who apparently has recently been deposed from power, and whose politics is very similar and parallel, and in a way coordinating the policies of the continued policies of emerging fascism, both in the United States. And I'm not saying that it hasn't been fascist all along, but increasing the degree and uniformity of it and the international coordination of it, that the timing of it also makes the it creates a lot of suspicion, and we should always look at the government in terms of what it's really up to in general, and what its operatives and where they are, and what we're really up against, because there are still too many people that have real illusions in the legitimacy of what they call a government. It's not really a government. It's a misleadership structure, which is run by a bunch of spy agencies that are doing nothing but crushing the population and trying to maintain the stability of the international capitalist system in terms of robbing the bulk of the world. I want to bring up one other topic also, that the Democratic Party governor of New York State has just appointed this Judge LaSalle, who's looked at as one of the conspicuously right-wing judges in of all the different judicial candidates for that position, to the highest position in New York State court system. There's nothing really distinguishing about this Judge LaSalle except the extreme regimentation and repression and oppression that he very apparently supports on the surface. And if you want to see the de facto association of so many people who have been manipulated into thinking of the Democratic Party as the leader of the oppressed and well, at least the Republicans or something, we have to look at the fact that he's being appointed by this Democratic Party mayor. And then I listened to WBAI, and I don't want to name the producers or anything, but several of the producers have announced that they support this appointment. In other words, they don't want to embarrass the governor, and that might lead to some kind of difficulty in explaining it or whatever it is, and they support the appointment of LaSalle. They will not challenge it, and they will not even go through the disgusting and in a way shocking, from the point of view of naive mentality that's expected of people, even on the left, in terms of Democratic Party and those who are supposed to be on the side of the people, but really are really are very treasonous to the people, and in a certain way, they can be more dangerous. There's a saying in prison that somebody that you can send is also somebody that can get up to you. And say a fact that somebody that you know is an enemy, you're going to be guarded against, but somebody else can get away with things and can get right up to you within reaching distance when you're not expecting it, and it's sort of a disarming thing. And again, everything in today's politics is dominated by the secrecy and treachery of the spy world. There are very little people that even come up to the description of actual politicians that are still around. It's a very highly coordinated disguised fascist system operating an illusion of democracy that allows the government to get up to people and to manipulate everyone to the genocidal detriment of the entire population. And it means that we have to look at that, and we have to get together and organize and realize the irreconcilability of the survival of the human race, those who are oppressed and exploited within that system. We have to come together and bring about a system based on human needs instead of imperialist profits and enslavement of our bodies and our minds.
Well, thank you so much for that. And your example of Governor Kathy Hochul's judicial appointment shows how fascism doesn't come in one day. It's a gradual process, and it is the process that you have examined and exposed and explained to us. And hopefully it reaches the ears of those who would be progressives to explain just how it happened. What could be her reason for, what other reason could she have for giving us the highest court, the highest office in the appeals court of the New York State? A right-wing person with a right-wing degree. Thank you so much, Joel.
All right, Tom, your mic is... Tom, hear us.
Hello. I'd like to say a few words about the so-called charter schools. Here we have a situation where instead of putting more money and attention to the regular schools, these charter schools, if they don't if they're not doing well, then they send them back to the regular public schools. Of course, what we really need is community control of our school system. Another problem is the Ukraine thing. Here our government is subsidizing with lots of money, and also with weapons to a regime that actually has neo-Nazis and anti-Jews in the regime itself, and then we have this problem with inflation, where people they cannot they don't have enough money to deal with this inflation in which prices keep going up, and it would seem to me that the only thing that's going to actually the problem with prices continuing to increase, where it was on TV, they as you noted before, you would have these horrible toxic food like cheeseburgers and other food like that.
Yes.
So
you got three? To wind it up for us?
Going. So anyway, I just want to, point out the only thing that we can do is to get rid of these horrible advertisements on TV, and instead, so that we will, we will not.
Oh, thank you, Tom. I think we get your message. We have to overthrow this ruling class causing this.
I just wanted to bring these things out.
Thank you for your
efforts, Tom. We really appreciate it. We appreciate your knowledge and information and your long time struggling for justice in this community and in this nation. Thank you, and Mr. Betty. Darryl.
Okay. 4044, are you still there? 4044. Yes.
Hello?
Yes. We called you earlier.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Can you hear us? Okay. We've got to move on. I'm so sorry. Brother Dennis, we're going to open up your mic, and thank you for your patience, and thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, we only got 4 minutes. But, okay. I'll tell you, there was a bevy of things I was going to discuss, but I'll hold off on that. I just think that for a fact that Sherelle Potts should have been informed within a year's time of this dilemma, and it was intentional that they did not inform her. No letters, no calls, no nothing. She was a target, as you mentioned earlier, by the state. This is we are targeted as the chairman is targeted right now. 81 years old, facing prison, facing death, as we sit back and we think that democracy works, Democratic Party does not work, has never worked. The democracy that they speak of does not apply to us. It's colonialism, sheer murder and genocide of African people all over the globe. And as for the young man that was the activist that was murdered by the state troopers, he didn't shoot. There was no body camera footage showing anything. We know he was executed. So, you know, we know these things. So what do we need to do? We need to actually break away. We need to form a vanguard. We need to work as a collective. It's not about how smart I am or how smart you are. It's about us working together as a collective. We need to stop playing a game with ourselves that we can work within a system that does not want us. Right now, they're murdering us all over the globe. Right now in the Congo, in a meeting I went into today, where they're still in the cobalt. This is in the Congo. They're stealing the copper. They're stealing all of the precious metals, the lithium. They're stealing it. The United States, France, the UK, and Canada, they're all stealing our resources. They're stealing the resources out of Haiti and committing genocide. These are things we really need to get serious about. We need to stop pontificating and really get serious and join up as a vanguard. Right now, we mentioned the Hands Off Uhuru.org, as Sister Lisa had mentioned, and I'm only going to give one more minute because that's the time I have. But I wanted to read the FBI's one tool of counterinsurgency. And as you well know, they just arrested one of their own who's been in corruption forever. How can a hypocrite who charges me with a crime of conspiring with Russia, while he was in Russia, conspiring with Russia, taking a payment over $225,000. How come this is the government hypocrisy that we all face? I want to end up by saying again, Sister Ann Lamp, I'm going to get in touch with you with Comrade Sister Potts' information. And Comrade Sister Potts, I'm going to give you Sister Ann Lamb's information as well. I'll say that right now. But we should be firecracker hot. We should be firecracker heart hot, and we should be wanting to separate. The more we try to mix in, the more they pull us in. We got the problem of menticide. Look that word up. We suffer with menticide, the colonial mode of production. It's not racism. It's colonial mode of production. It's greed. And they're sucking us dry, putting us in prison, killing us while we're in prison. This is murder, sheer murder. I'll rest that right now. We'll talk next week. Uhuru.
Uhuru Freedom, and thank you so much for that. When you mentioned the names Haiti, Congo, Mobutu, this is the history of this country, whether it's Democratic or Republican. And if we look at the number of people killed by the state on the street, we will know that Black Lives Matter did little to change that. We are continuing on a downgrade of injustice, downhill slide, and we don't seem to get it. And I guess, as a friend of mine said, you expect people to rise up until they're hungry. And my brothers and sisters, we are going into the hunger mode of America. Sister Betty.
I want to remind you the International Independent Expert Mechanism to Advance Racial Justice and Equality in the Context of Law Enforcement will conduct a country visit to the United States of America from the 24th of April through the 5th of May of this year. And it is important that you provide and disseminate this information to our community networks. I'm sure if you go to Jericho, New York City Jericho website, there will be more information about this. I want to thank all of our special guests this evening who made it possible for us to spread the word. And Sister Vicki Potts has given you her contact information. We will start off with Brother Dennis next week because we did shortchange him this week. Once again, we thank you all. Brother Ralph?
Good night, my brothers and sisters, comrades. See you next week. And Shalah, and let us continue our individual and collective struggle.
If you have time tomorrow on WBAI at 8 o'clock, we have a state trooper from Louisiana who fought against the blue line. State Trooper Carl Casanova was a whistleblower against the death of one of our own at the hands of the State Police of Louisiana. It's a very important program. Get on, make your voice heard, and encourage this police officer who did the right thing.
We are trying to extend this message that we have on our Tuesday night to our Wednesday night program. And it will not happen without your participation. Please, 99.5 on your FM dial at 8 p.m. Wednesday, 212-295-2877. Call in and the 212-209